Father had an idea. You know what? Why don't we create a being that looks just like us? Okay? Why? And we're going to put them, everything that we have in us, except eternity. Let's give them the power to choose. But choose between who? Well, we can take the lousy Lucifer, give him a chance, and he will fall. And they can choose between Lucifer and us. But what if they all choose Lucifer? Then we're going to plan salvation of those who want to come. Spirit asks, do you really want to go through all these hoops? Yes. Why? Because I want them to choose by themselves to come to me. Jesus asks, why would you do that? Because when they do that, it will be heartfelt worship. And I'm going to savor every bit of it. You with me so far, right? All right. So let's divide the work. God said, well, I'm the Father, I'm planning. You become the Son. Okay, what do I do? You're going to go take a form like those folks that we're going to create. You're going to take the same form like they do. And then I'll let them crucify you so that through you, I can buy these folks back to me. And it got to be one of us because we don't have sin. They will. So one of us not having sin will be able to pay for the price for the redemption of these folks. Jesus said, I'll do that. Holy Spirit then said, okay, I guess I'm going to take the work that you do and I'm going to apply on the lives of those who comes to you. And then I'm going to stamp them. I'm going to seal them until the day of redemption, when you're going to bring all of them into your presence, and then willingly they will worship us. Great idea. So then, in the beginning, God creating the heavens and the earth. It's a place that he had prepared for this new plan, this new project that he has. What was he doing before? I don't know. Why don't we know? Because your mind is too small to comprehend. The closest galaxy from us is 35 billion light years. How long is that? Forever. 35 billion, billions light years for you to get there. So God said, well, you know what? Let's prepare a place for these folks to live. Let's make them comfortable. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it says, the earth was without form and void. How in the world would a God that created, would create an earth that has no form and void? What is wrong with this picture? Well, most of the scholars will tell you that the reason that earth became without form and void was because of the fact that while God was creating earth, Satan had his choice. And he went for it. He took a third of the angels and said, y'all better obey me, because from this point forth, I'm going to sit above the mountain of God. I'm going to put my throne above the mountain of God, above the throne of God, and I'm going to be just like him. And some stupid angels fell for this and followed him. God finished doing this. He said, well, let's go back because there's some mess up there. They went up there and saw the rebellion. He kicked out Satan and the rebellious angels, which now is called demons. You with me so far? Yeah. On their fall to planet Earth, their fall on planet Earth caused Earth to be without form. You with me so far? Yeah. What about the void? It was void because Earth was originally intended for you and I. So it's still void because you and I are still not on the picture. Are you together with me yet? And it says, darkness was on the face of the deep. Nevertheless, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So if you take a look, there's two people in the Trinity here. In the beginning, God. Father created the earth. And the Spirit of God was there too. Make sure that things stay on plan as planned. Is that right? Good. Then you go back now to John chapter 1. Starting on verse 1. Pay attention that here says that in the beginning God created heavens and earth and the waters, and the Holy Spirit was upon the waters, right? Then he goes here, in the beginning, again, was the Word. And the Word was with. Why is it important for you to see? He's differentiating things here. In the beginning was the Word. Here's the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. You got the point? So you have the Word, you have God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But Genesis said that the Father created. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He says in here, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God himself was the Word. How is that possible? I don't know. Your mind and my mind will never figure that out. Now go to verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. So he's talking about two different people, right? He who? The Word. You with me still? Verse 3, he goes on to say, all things were made by him. Well, him who? The Word. Yeah? The Word. And yet, without him, nothing was made that was made. So Genesis call the Father as the creator and the Spirit hovering above the water. John says in the beginning he was with God. He was God. And nothing that has been created was created without him. So you have here the inclusion of the Trinity. Is that right? God Father, God Spirit, now God Son into the picture. Somebody may say, well, preacher, I hear what you're saying. But still, especially Jewish people will say, still, the Torah said in the beginning was God who created this thing. All right, I can live with that. Can you give them John 10:30? I can live with that. No problem whatsoever. I and my Father
are one.
What? That's what he says. So if the Father created, he also created because he and the Father are one. Are you still with me?
Yes.
So how many God do we serve? We serve one that manifests himself in three different persons. God the Father, the planner, the author of salvation. God the Son, the carrier of the plan of salvation.
Amen.
And God, Holy Spirit, who executed the plan of salvation by applying that plan into my life and your life. I'm going to say something a little crazy here. Don't get excited, please. When you make a true commitment to follow Jesus Christ and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there are three things that will happen to you and will never change. Titus 3. Let's start on verse 4. When you make a true commitment to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there are three things that will never change. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, before we go further, he says the kindness and the love of God, our Savior. But yet in John 1:12 says that Jesus is the one who saves. Say amen. Amen. This verse is telling us that God the Father and Jesus is the Savior. They are the same. When His kindness and love appears toward you and I, verse 4-5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. There's nothing that you will ever be able to do in your lifetime to buy salvation. I'll say it again. There is nothing. You can be the best Catholic in town. You can be the best Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal. You will never, ever, 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 ever make to heaven by being a good person. Not by works of righteousness. You can't earn salvation. But according to His mercy, He saved us. God looked down upon you and I and so they can make on their own. And this is why Jesus Christ had to take the form of a man. God's compassion, God's mercy upon you and I was so strong that He couldn't just sit by and watch you and I go to hell. He provided us a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He goes to say that He saved us. And once you've got saved, how did you get saved? Through the washing of regeneration and renewing of
Holy Spirit.
Here comes the third person of the Trinity. Not only He saved you, but by paying the price that needed to be paid for your salvation, He also washed away the filthiness of your life, of my life. Don't let anybody fool you. Say, well, you know, some people got delivered right away. Some goes bit by bit. That's baloney. The book says in here, when He saved you, He also washed you from all your sins. And the washing that He's talking about here, washing of regeneration, in Hebrew language here, is called teshuvah. Say teshuvah. What is the meaning of that? This is teshuvah. You are heading that way. When teshuvah takes place, you start walking in the opposite direction. Is everybody listening to me? Regeneration means you are walking towards condemnation. You are a slave of sin. There was no hope for your life. And on the moment that God's mercy was bestowed upon you and you came to know Jesus Christ, He saved you from that certain destruction in hell. He washed you from the sins that were taking you to hell, and He caused you to walk in a different direction.
Amen.
And that could be done only by the Trinity. The Father planned, the Father showed the mercy, Jesus the Savior carried on the punishment, and the Holy Spirit came and took that work and applied by washing us.
Hallelujah.
From all the garbage that was taking us to hell. Now verse 6 got even more interesting. Watch this. Whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. In other words, the condition to have that Holy Ghost coming and doing that washing of regeneration in our hearts is only come to Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. All you and I need to do, God will take each one of us one day in our life and give us the understanding about the Word. And when that understanding comes to receive Jesus, please do not forfeit that opportunity. This is why the Bible says, do not turn away your hearts like the temptation in the wilderness. Y'all remember that scripture in Hebrew? It means that every one of us may have grown in church all our lives, We went to church because grandmother took us to church, and then mom and daddy took us after grandmother died, and we got used to church, and now we go to church. That will not take you to heaven. It comes a day when the Spirit of God will speak to our hearts, and we have to say, yes, Lord, I'm in. I want it. I'm going to follow it. Once that takes place, what do we need to do to get to that point? Come to Jesus Christ. Because it is through Jesus Christ that the Spirit will come upon you and wash away all our iniquities. Verse 7 gets even more interesting. That have been justified by his undeserved favor or grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. In other words, eternal life now is yours. You are an heir of eternal life. It's something that belongs to you through Jesus Christ. All this could be possible only through a triune manifestation of the Godhead. Are you still with me? We needed to have a Father to plan. We needed to have a Son to carry on the plan. And we need to have the Holy Ghost to apply that plan. Therefore, once you came and made a true decision to follow Jesus Christ, you can't be saved bit by bit. Once you came and truly gave your life to Christ, there is no other way. You can't come to Christ and live like you used to live before. If you do, you have not been converted. You have been convinced, but not converted. What in the world are you talking about? I can convince you of something, and yet you will never do. You've been convinced, but you're not embracing this. But when you converted, you abandon the way that you thought and then take this new way of thinking because you have been converted. Are you with me here? Suddenly enough, there is millions and millions of people in the church today that are convinced but never converted. And you know one thing? The Bible said that sin shall no longer have dominion over you. That's for converted people. Now, people that are convinced of their sin, they will feel bad, they will feel sorry, they will ask forgiveness to God, and then tomorrow they're going to go do the same thing again. Because the washing of regeneration has not taken place into their hearts yet. Only a triune God could do something like this. Amen. Right there?
Yeah, but Jesus wasn't mentioned until John.
Jesus is mentioned before. When you go to the Old Testament scriptures, every time that you hear the word the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus. Every time you read the angel of the Lord, God doesn't have a peculiar, special, particular angel. He doesn't. So every time that is mentioned the angel of the Lord, it's an allusion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you go a little bit further, can you put up that Genesis 1:26? This is where Jesus come in. The English version does not make sense because you can't see what Hebrew says. Then, Elohim, the triune God, said, let me make, let us, which means, John said he was in the beginning. With God, he was God. Everything that has been created was not created without him. Let us, here's Jesus, make man in our image. Here is Jesus again. According to our likeness. Here is Jesus again. Let them, did you see the word them? Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. He didn't say, let him have. Isn't that interesting? Let them have. So how many men did he create? He created one. But from the get-go, there was an idea of procreation, of many looking like he does. How does the Lord look? How does the Father looks like? Is the question then. Brother, can you throw up there John 14, verse 7? How does God look like? If we are created into the image of God, how does God look like? If you had known me, Jesus said, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and... Isn't that interesting? You know what? Let's back off a little bit here. Can you go scroll up a little bit and go to verse 4? It's not quite what I want, but I want to... And where I go, you know. And the way, you know. 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. And how can we know the way? Jesus then answered him, very famous. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And he goes to verse 7. If you had known me, you'd have known my Father also. In other words, whoever knows Jesus knows the Father. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Now, verse 8 is the killing. Watch this. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. And that's enough, huh? That's sufficient for us. Bold statement. You see with me here, right?
Yes.
Now, I love verse 9. Watch this. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? Isn't that quite an answer? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Give him a break, Jesus. He's still learning. So how does God look like? He looks like Jesus. How does God look like? He looks like you. You look just like God. You are the people of God.
Amen.
Called and created by him.
Amen.
This is the work that only a triune God could perform. Say amen.
Amen.
There was a need for somebody to plan, somebody to carry on the work, and somebody to apply that work. And you know, Solomon said that a three-string chord cannot easily be broken. Isn't that right? I'd rather have the three in one than have just one. Amen?
Amen. I've seen some literature that says that the face of God is a four-faced God. He has the face of a lion, the face of an eagle, the face of man, and the face of an ox. Four-faced. And of course you can probably equate, you know, the ego as being Holy Spirit, the man being God, the lion being God and the man being Jesus. I don't know what the ox is, so but are you familiar with that?
Yeah. But that has nothing to do with his persona per se. When you have four faces all directions, it speaks of omniscience of God. His capability of seeing all things, doing all things, ruling. Lion is the ruler of the animals. He rules over everything because all four corners can see. The eagle can reach whatever. He can be everywhere. And it's exemplified in having four faces. The ox speaks about work. He can do any work. better than an ox. And the man, he is the God-man. So it speaks more about God's omniscience, God's ability to do things than his appearance in itself. Things like this can be done only by the triune God. He is one God that manifests himself in three different persons. I don't know. He says in the same scripture, and no one knows that name.
Right.
So we don't know. He will give you a stone. You may not be called Donald Williams anymore. He may call you Shacharit. Full of joy. He may call you Shacharit, full of joy. I may no longer be called Small. My name is Small, humble. I might be called Gibor. Mighty Paul. Huh? I don't know. That's going to be a name that only the people will know, but that's not for you and I. This is for Jewish people that will go through the tribulation. You and I will be gone long. I mean, I hope you're coming along with us. You know, I don't want you to stay. Hope you're coming along. But we will be gone long. That's for the stubborn Jewish people that will be saved during the tribulation. That's it. Amen? So you serve one God that manifests himself in three different persons. Say amen. In losing our salvation, you can't lose what you don't have. You can't lose what you don't have. Do I believe once saved for always? If you are saved, if you are truly saved, you will never go back. How many kids have you seen eating candy and then a few days later don't want to eat candy anymore? It just don't happen. When you come into the goodies of eternal life, there's no way.
Well, but I know Sister Mavis. She was such a good Christian. She used to speak in tongue, blah, 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 and then she went all the way back to the world.
Sister Maeve may not have been saved. The Bible said that the righteous man shall fall 7 times and shall rise. Plain and simple. Amen? Father God, may your word find place in our hearts. Help us to have a grateful heart for such a marvelous work that the triune God has done on our behalf. Help us, Lord, to be grateful for all that you have done in our lives. Give us a deeper understanding of your word. And I pray that above all, Lord, we will be willing to spend time with you to get to know this loving God that had such a crazy idea to be bothered with us. I mean, you could have just gone throughout eternity without having to bother with us doing nonsense down here. But yet you chose to create us. And then you chose to become flesh and come and save us. And Holy Spirit, I really appreciate your patience. You know, we are full of nonsense. And yet you're putting up with us all these years. Thank you so much for being such a great God. Give us a heart of gratitude and help us to recognize you in the beauty of your holiness. Help us to come to you not because of what we can get out of you, but because of who you are, a loving God. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Let's bless the Lord with an offering tonight.